presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control towers. CX-4 calling control towers. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
You know, fellas and girls, in many jobs, they measure how good you are by the size of your muscles or maybe your height or weight. But in the business of being a mechanic, well, that's a different story. You've got to be good, not big. In fact, sometimes it helps if you're smaller than normal. In working on aircraft, some spots require inside work, small places like wingtips, gas tanks, and other small compartments. Well, naturally, those places are a tight squeeze for normal-sized people. For that reason, the Air Force trained as many midgets as they could during the war to work on planes. Two of the smallest mechanics in the airline industry are now working in the United Airlines maintenance base at San Francisco. They are Joe Vercellino, only 3 feet 11 inches, and James Cooper, 4 feet tall. Both are well-trained mechanics, and they do the tight work in wings, along gas lines, and other small spaces where their larger fellow employees can't reach. Vercellino joined United Airlines in July 1947 after receiving aircraft training at McClellan Field with the Air Force. Cooper, who has been with the company since October 1946, was trained by the AAF at Mobile, Alabama, and later worked for the Bell Aircraft Company at Atlanta, Georgia, where he put in much time working in tight corners of B-29s. Before the war started, both Cooper and Vercellino were in show business, as were a great many other midgets. However, the rise of aviation has given these men a job with a direct bearing on the welfare of their country. More later, gang, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. The long and arduous pursuit of Carlos Mendez through two continents is almost over. Hop, Tank, and John Temple, roaring southward into Argentina, have finally reached Cañada Verde and Mendez Ranch, where they expect to have a showdown with a mysterious South American. Dropping down to 500 feet and cutting back the throttle of his borrowed Army B-26, Hop skims over the flat, level plainsland as Tank and the FBI agent search for the ranch house. Suddenly, the mechanic sits bolt upright.
Hey, I think I see it. Look, straight ahead.
A group of buildings, all right.
Looks like the only ones around for miles. That long one in the middle must be the ranch house.
The rest are barns, I imagine. And living quarters for the cowhands.
See anyone around?
Ah. Say, what's that near the barn on the left?
Huh?
It's gleaming in the sun. It's something metallic.
I'll say it is. That's the Fairchild, the packet. Mendez plane. That cinches it. We hit it right on the button.
How about it, Hop?
Wheels and flaps, Tank. We're going to land.
Almost anticipating Hop's command, Tank sets the required controls as the young pilot swings the plane sharply around, turning into the wind, preparing for a fast landing. Unknown to the boys, however, a grim scene is taking place in one of the barns below. Gail Nolan, in an effort to help young Christopher Cross escape from his hiding place under the Lakeville Bell, a hiding place that has become a trap, has tried to burn her way through the outer metal casing with an acetylene torch. But Otto Vogel, Mendez's henchman, has caught her doing it.
So I was right. You are not to be trusted. Mendez was a fool.
Put down that gun.
I warned him. I told him to get rid of you. But he would not listen. He insulted me. Now I will show him.
No. No.
He will see the evidence before him, the bell, the acetylene torch, and you on the floor, dead.
Vogel, you can't.
Can't I? Miss Nolan, I am not the gallant gentleman Mendez pretends to be. Man or woman, you are my enemy, and so must be eliminated. So now be still, and I will use only one shot. You will not suffer.
Vogel, are you in here?
Mr. Mendez!
Miss Nolan, Vogel, what is going on here?
I found your trusted prisoner cutting into the bell with the acetylene torch.
What?
I warned you, Mendez. Now you see what has happened. I will take no further chances. We will put her out of the way now.
Put down that gun.
Are you out of your mind?
Put down that gun, I say.
Mendez, I will not tolerate it.
You fool, can't you hear?
Huh?
It's a plane.
A plane? Here?
Yes, a United States Army bomber. It is coming in for a landing.
Then they know.
How should I know if they know? But American Army planes do not land here for nothing.
It was the girl. She warned them.
Don't be ridiculous. She could have done no such thing.
Nevertheless, if they find her alive, she will tell them everything.
They will not find her. And you will not touch her. Tie her up and place her near the bell.
But Mendez...
Do not question me. There is little time. Two of my men will be here in a moment. They will help you cover Miss Nolan and the bell with hay from the loft above.
So?
Cover it completely. I will go out and keep them occupied as long as I possibly can.
With fast, Vogel!
As Vogel plunges into action, Mendes strides out of the barn, closing the door behind him, and heads for the open field where Hopp is making a landing. He passes a long shed-like building, the living quarters of his men, and signals to a cowhand who stands staring inquisitively from the doorway. The cowhand, in turn, signals other men within the building. They swarm out, fully armed. Hopp taxis slowly toward the ranch house. John comments on the flurry of activity at the ranch.
Looks like we stirred up a hornet's nest.
The place was empty a minute ago. Now look at it.
And that must be Mendes standing there, the tall chap.
Yeah.
Fits Scales' description, all right.
I don't see her around, do you?
No, of course not. No, this is about as far as we can go. Set the brakes, Nick.
Okay.
Ah, oh, come on.
What's Mendes doing?
Walking toward the hatch. Welcoming committee of one, I guess.
I wonder how much of a welcome we'll get from those men stationed along the fence.
Just thinking of that myself. Drop the ladder, Tank.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, John.
Oh, thanks.
Here comes Mendes, Hop.
Certainly doesn't look worried.
I'd like to wipe that smile off his face.
Now, Tank, don't you fly off the handle. This is going to be tricky enough as it is. Let John take care of everything.
Okay, okay.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Think we're making a social call?
Welcome to Rancho Verde. I am Carlos Mendes.
How do you do? I'm John Temple.
Senor?
This is Hop Harrigan and Tank Tinker.
Senor, it's my pleasure. And to what may I attribute the honor of your visit?
Huh?
Why have you landed here, if I may ask?
To see you, Senor Mendes.
Oh? We have mutual friends, perhaps?
Hardly. Senor, you just returned from the United States, haven't you?
Why, yes, but how did you know?
We know a lot about your activities. I'm an agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Federal Bureau? Oh, yes, the FBI. But what has that to do with me?
Plenty. Easy, Tank.
Senor, you visited a number of cities and towns in the United States.
Yes, I was on an extended vacation. You have a very charming country. I was most favorably impressed.
And after each of your visits, a bell was found damaged.
A bell? What kind of a bell?
A church bell. Part of the Carillon of Piranhas.
Piranhas? And what is that?
Cut the stall and Mendes.
Tank, please.
Senor Temple, I do not understand the purpose of your question.
You will in a minute. May I continue?
Please do.
In Bay City, Nebraska, a man was murdered. In Lakeville, three men were shot dead. And the bell from the town hall steeple disappeared.
And Gail Nolan was kidnapped.
Oh, more and more interesting. What has all that to do with me?
I was about to ask you the question.
So, your implications are quite disturbing, Senor. Why should you think I am involved?
Frankly, everything points to you, Mendes.
Facts, I presume? Evidence?
Hey, listen, I'm getting tired of all this horsing around. Why don't we pound it out of them?
Senor Tinker, if there is any pounding to be done, I am sure my men would be only too anxious to oblige.
Oh, they will, huh?
Pablo, García.
Yes.
Now, Senor, you were saying...
Hey, don't scare me none.
Easy, Tank, for the love of Pete. They've got itchy trigger fingers.
A wise observation, Senor.
Listen, Mendes, I don't know what you're up to. But we came down here to find Miss Nolan and that bell, and we're going to find them.
You may be an important official in your United States, Senor Temple, but here, the Federal Bureau of Investigation means nothing.
You'd be helping your own case if you allowed us to search your ranch. If you're innocent, you have nothing to fear.
Senor, there is no case. Therefore, my innocence is not in question. Now, I've had enough of this comedy. I must ask you to leave.
Senor, it's only fair to warn you. I can go through the State Department if necessary. And your own government will give me a search warrant.
When and if that should happen, my doors will be open to you, but not before. Now, senor, if you please.
All right, Hop. Tank, let's go.
All right. Hey, wait a minute. You ain't going to let him get away with this, are you?
Senor, if you have not left Rancho Verde within 5 minutes, I will have my men provide a suitable escort.
There's nothing we can do, Tank. Come on.
Cold, hard anger seething within the boys, they return to their B-26 as Mendes and his men surround the plane, fingering their guns threateningly. So, Hop, Tank, and John Temple have lost the first round in their encounter with Carlos Mendes. You won't want to miss the gripping climax of today's episode, gang, so stand by. I've been talking about helicopters these past few weeks, gang, and I'm going to keep on just as long as I keep hearing of new uses for these small ships. The way it looks at present, there's no end to them. For instance, Robert S. Burgess, a post office official, is all smiles these days. He's pretty happy because he took a gamble and won. The gamble was supporting helicopter airmail service in the Los Angeles area, an entirely new method of carrying letters. After only 2 months of operation, the service was a big success. In fact, it's better than was expected and has even developed a new type of communication. Burgess said that suburban Los Angeles businessmen have found they can use the helicopter service for rapid communication with their customers in adjoining communities. A letter by helicopter costs 5 cents to mail. In some cases, helicopter letters go through faster than telegrams. Think of it. The service started as a daylight operation in Los Angeles, but Burgess says it will be put on a 24-hour basis as soon as the contracting operator can obtain new ships and more pilots. Right now, more than 25 communities are on the various routes being flown. Incidentally, several of the post office department's truck routes have been discontinued since the start of copter service. That's a good indication of its success. The success in Los Angeles of the helicopters as mail carriers should be good news to residents of other big cities like Chicago and New York, which also hope to have the same service. As I said before, gang, there are many potential uses for the helicopter. Right now, we've just barely scratched the surface. I'll report to you as soon as I hear anything new about these small but mighty useful ships. Meanwhile, get ready to take your place in the sky. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Bound and gagged by Otto Vogel and hidden under a pile of hay, Gail waited anxiously, hopefully, for Hop to appear. But when she heard the engines of his plane roar into life and the plane take off, she realized her last chance of rescue flew with it. Now, Mendes has returned to the barn and, with Vogel, has removed the concealing blanket of hay.
All right, Vogel. Take off Miss Nolan's gag.
Wait, Mendes. Listen to me now. You see what she is up to. You see how much trouble she means to us. You cannot keep her here any longer. You must realize
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Take the gag off.
Very well. It is off.
So, Miss Nolan, you were trying to trick me.
I wasn't trying to trick you or anyone.
What were you doing here? Why were you trying to cut into the bell? Answer me.
And there is something very strange. She knows the secret of the bell, so that obviously could not be the reason for her actions.
Very clever of you, Vogel. I thought of that half an hour ago. Answer me, Miss Nolan.
I just wanted to see for myself.
You had already seen. No, there is something else, is there not?
Is there not?
But what could it be? Miss Nolan, your actions are beginning to explain themselves. Your sudden friendliness, your great hunger aboard the plane, your nervousness, and your constant appearance near the bell.
Mendes, what are you driving at?
It is hard to believe, and yet... Vogel, take the acetylene torch.
But why?
This time we will cut all the way through, cut a hole in the bell so that we can see inside. I believe we will learn a great deal. Quickly, Vogel.
Very well.
And Vogel, I suggest you use a very hot flame, as hot as possible. And when you cut through, put the flame all the way inside.
No, no, please.
Then I am correct. There is someone inside the bell, yes?
Yes, but he's only a boy. Please don't hurt him.
A boy? Mendes, this is intolerable. You must get rid of them. You must.
Yes, now I agree with you, Vogel. We shall get rid of them very soon.
His dark eyes burning with hatred, Mendes glares at Gale, then spins on his heel and leaves the barn. Gang, Hops, and Tank's close friends are in a tough spot. How can the boys possibly help them? We'll know in our next episode, so tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.